Ever wonder why the internationally familiar symbol of medicine shows a staff with one or two serpents entwined around it? Well, one story about how the symbol came about is directly related to Rome. Legend holds that in the early days of the Roman Empire, a serpent swam ashore at the Tiber Island, a stone's throw away from Vatican Radio's broadcasting facilities today in the heart of Rome. Well, this snake was said to be the incarnation of the god of healing. And so the Romans built a temple to him in his honor. Walking through the Eternal City today, you'll find a similar snake motif decorating most Roman pharmacies. The Fate Bene Fratelli Hospital now takes the place of the pagan temple on Tiber Island. This Catholic order of brothers who do well to others is also called the Hospitaller Order of St. John of God. They care for the sick, and many are trained in the pharmaceutical field.
St. John of God used to say to people, Fate bene, fratelli, do good to yourselves, brothers, by giving me an alms. So that sort of stuck, and they used to call us the Fate bene, fratelli. Well, they still call us the Fate bene, fratelli.
That Fate Bene Fratelli brother is Fabian Hines. I spoke to him not long ago as he was retiring as director of the Vatican Pharmacy after 50 years of service under six popes.
When I came here, the pharmacy was very small. We were seven religious, and it was on this side of the pharmacy. It was like a bank, really. It had two sportelli like a bank, the glass, the windows and the ledges. And with pass of time, they began in the Vatican in 1952, the health fund for those who work in the Vatican. And now that number of people who work and have a right to use the pharmacy and the fund would amount to about 10,000 people, counting fathers that work here and their wives and children, etc., etc., and all the Monsignori and bishops and cardinals. They can come here and get their medicines practically free, as you know. They buy a small ticket.
Right. But some people from outside, from the city of Rome, are also allowed to come in.
We do have some medicines that are we have available for hospitals and things. Something new. Sometimes we have new anti-cancer drugs and things like that. And people can get them if they have a prescription and from a hospital. And if they come here with a passport, and so they can get through the gate.
The Vatican Pharmacy today carries all sorts of international medicines, many not easy to find in pharmacies elsewhere. But few people know it also sells nutritional products, top-of-the-line cosmetics, perfumes, and a wide range of soaps and shampoos.
When I came here in 56, we were selling here things like Yardley's soap and Yardley's lavender water, I remember. That's a long, long time ago. I've just let it sort of grow bigger. You asked me what was my role here.
Yes.
Well, when I came here, I came to substitute an old Italian brother who was 83, and he was what they called the farmacista capo. And when he left about the year after I came here, I became the pharmacista capo.
Which in English would be the head pharmacist.
The head pharmacist, and I've been that ever since, really.
And did you receive training on how to be a pharmacist?
I did pharmacy before I entered the order. Mm-hmm. I studied at Sydney University. Mm-hmm. That was before I entered the order in Australia.
Over the years Brother Fabian spent at the Vatican Pharmacy, he saw it grow and was responsible for making it the large structure it is today. That meant he had to work closely with the Vatican Governatorato, which administrates the financial workings of the various Vatican departments and offices.
Cardinal Schocker, who was Cardinal of Detroit, as you know, was our president for many years here, and he used to call us the Eight Republics, because each one was doing things on their own, you know what I mean?
Each Vatican office.
Yeah, I mean, the food shops and the museums and the pharmacy and the post office and the outer park or the car park and the petrol, that sort of thing. And the radio. So they're always sort of working on their own different levels, but he was his job, and he did quite a good job of combining different things. So, I mean, we personally didn't have to do anything. We get a small stipend that we're quite able to live on.
So how big is it now here in the pharmacy? How many personnel do you have and products? You've got products from all over the world too, don't you?
Well, I wouldn't say we have products from all over the world, but we do have a lot of, if you like, what we call foreign products. The staff is, counting everyone, it would be about 50. A lot of the people, a lot of the lashes that work on the cosmetic section, promoters of the firms, and we have about 12 pharmacists, not all full-time, part-time, and three of the brothers are pharmacists.
Today, out of the 50 or so employees at the Vatican Pharmacy, many are women, including seven female pharmacists. But Brother Fabian told me it wasn't always that way. It was, in fact, he who years ago hired the pharmacy's first woman. But, he confided, she wasn't allowed to show her face from behind the counter. That, he chuckled, would have been scandalous for the brothers and priests at the time. And with a wink, he told me it wasn't long before she was preparing medicinal prescriptions and elixirs right up front, just like all the religious men. So, a mini-revolution within the Vatican walls. Brother Fabian, a jolly old soul who didn't look a day over 60, seemed to enjoy unlikely challenges. It was obvious to me that he was going to sorely miss his colleagues as he packed his bags, after a lifetime in Rome and in the Vatican, to return to his native Australia. And what about all the memories Brother Fabian was leaving behind? After all, he had worked for six pontiffs, from Pius XII to Benedict XVI. What memories remained with him most?
There are really two things that stand out during the pontificate of Pope John Paul. There was that dreadful afternoon when he was shot in the square. Of course, they brought him here to the outpatients, so it was a dreadful moment, and I'll never forget that.
What were people here in the pharmacy doing? Because you're right next to the Guardia Medica, the office there where he would have been brought, right?
Yes, they brought him into the outpatients department there in the Guardia Medica, and they took him from one ambulance into the other ambulance, and then went off to Gemelli Hospital. And that was one thing very sad, and it shook everyone. It took us weeks to get over that. And, of course, he got gradually better. And just after that period, when he came back here before he had his final operation, three brothers from this community looked after him in the papal apartments as nurses, because we are a nursing order. The other time I remember particularly was when we had a particular audience, the General Council, and I was with them. And shortly before, he jammed his finger in the door of the car. And I, not knowing that, took his hand and shook at him. He went, ow! Just one of those things.
Oh, my
God. Yeah.
What about John Paul I, who served only 33 days?
Yes, well, when he was elected Pope, I was due for a holiday. So after all the business of the conclave, and we used to have to put a pharmacy into the conclave, but one or two brothers, or one farmer's brother and one nurse brother.
For in case someone fell ill?
They'd have a surgeon and a doctor, a nurse and a pharmacist, and we supplied the pharmacist and the nurse. Then they used to ask for medicines by phone, and we'd take the medicines up into the turnstile. It was like the enclosed nuns once upon a time. We'd have to put things into a sort of a whatever you call it, a turnstile sort of affair.
Mm-hmm. But you say that you used to have to do that during conclave.
The last conclave, it was different because all the cardinals were living in the Santa Marta, and they went by bus each morning into the Sistine Chapel for the voting. So there was not that terrific sense of being enclosed as enclosed nuns, you know.
So, sorry, we were talking about John Paul I.
Oh, yes, when the election was on, I was due to go for a holiday. I remember when I was going out to the airport in the car, I noticed the secretary of Pope Paul, who is now Bishop of Cove in Ireland, John McGee. I noticed he was walking back across the square with his suitcase, and I thought, oh, he must be going to be the secretary to the Pope, as he was for the Pope before him. It so happened that. So I went off to Australia, had my holiday, and when I was due to come back after 1 month, I went to visit some people I knew, and when I was there, one person came and he said, the Pope is dead. And I said, the Pope died a month ago. What's this all this stuff? He said, no, the new Pope is dead. Oh, I got a dreadful shock. And when I came home on the plane, the Pope's brother had been in Adelaide for a trade fair. He was on the same plane coming back. I remember that particularly. I remember because a lot of photographers were at the airport waiting to take him when we came off the plane.
What about John the 23rd, who's so loved by the Italians?
Yes. Well, I was in the conclave for that time, and conclave lasted almost 3 days, I think. And I remember when finally it was all over and we were all presented to the Pope one by one, and when he saw me, I said, Fate bene fratelli, farmacia, or something like that. And he said, oh, he said, it's we farmers that make the products that you handle and sell in the pharmacy. He said, you have to thank us contadini. We farmers, you see. Just a little joke he used to make.
Sweet. Well, in fact, pharmacies, at least here in Italy, really got off the ground thanks to the monastic communities, right? They used to farm, they used to produce the elixirs and the powders and the digestive things. Look back for a moment at the history of the Vatican's pharmacy for a second. You said that it was in 1929... that the Vatican signed the Lateran Pact with the state of Italy and built the big walls around Vatican City State. Where did the Vatican where did the Pope go when he needed medicine before that?
I think they used to go to the local pharmacy here in Borgo Pio, from what I imagine.
Just down the street from the Vatican here.
Yeah. And of course, you were talking about medicinal liqueurs and things, but we still make them here.
In fact, I see them sometimes right there on the counter. I see these wonderful-looking digestive... Well, they're actually liqueurs, aren't they?
We sell two medicinal liqueurs. Mm-hmm. One made out of quinine, quinine, a sort of sweet, bitter sort of liqueur, and another based on aniseed.
And where do those come from?
We make them here.
Here in the Vatican? Yeah. Vatican Pharmacy? But where does the base product come from?
Oh, we buy what we need from Italy or from other places.
So don't tell me you've got little nuns or the pharmacists, or the women pharmacists back in the back rooms making this.
Oh, no. We make them here now, downstairs, let's say.
There's a downstairs here? What's downstairs?
Well, we call it a cantina, but it's not a cantina. It's just like an extension of a storeroom. It's quite big. It's as big as the pharmacy itself. Bigger, really.
And you have a little laboratory down there where you put together some of these elixirs and...
We also make a liquid sort of mouthwash, toothpaste, and also a lotion for dandruff and things like that.
Do you only sell these here in the Vatican pharmacy, or are they available for purchase somewhere else?
No, they're only available here. I'm not making any plug now. We sell them here, yes.
Any little odd anecdotes that you want to tell me about your years here? Some of the people that you've seen, some of the unusual requests for medicine, or the people that you feel that you've really helped through this work of yours?
I can recall hundreds and hundreds of what you're saying. We've tried to help as many people as we can. But I always remember we had one of the first antibiotics of a certain type, and somebody sent for it from Florence, and I think the father of this young lad came down here and picked up the medicine and went off. And about 20 years later, a fine young man came in and wanted to speak to me. And he said, "I've just come to thank you for what happened." He said, "When I was very little, my father came and you got hold of a new antibiotic which saved my life."
What's your last memory of this place? How do you leave it?
Well, I leave... it's fairly well organized. I think that's not due to me. I'm not a very methodical person. I might have some of the ideas. But I think, I've always insisted on being polite and pleasant to the people. I hope it sticks to the others. Anyway, as regards as myself, I've had a ball.
Well, quite frankly, I had a ball too, speaking there to Brother Fabian Hines, former director of the Vatican Pharmacy, upon his retirement. We wish him all the best.